Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to start reading on verse 14. And King Herod heard him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man, and a holy man, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he swore unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and said, and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. We pray, Lord, that you speak to every heart that's here, that you deal with each one according to their need. We pray, Lord, that that you would also remove all the devils and demons that would be trying to take away thy word. I pray that it would stay in the hearts of those that hear it. Lord, that you would work in their lives, and we just pray that your will be done in all the lives that are here. We just commit this service into thy hands. We pray that above all, that you receive all the honor and glory, because only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, this story reveals the death of a great, great man. Jesus had said that John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived, born unto a woman. This guy had been appointed by God to be the messenger of God. He was the one that was going to come and set the road straight for his God. And of course, besides the fact that he was murdered, that he was executed unjustly, my concern this morning, and what I'm going to be stressing on, will be the process that takes place in the hardening of a heart. This is the when your conscience gets seared. This is when you don't listen no more to anything that God has to say. This man Herod had a bad upbringing. His dad had been the one in charge during the time when Jesus was a little baby. He's the one that ordered the execution of all the little babies, everything from 2 years old on under. He was a bad individual, a bad influence, but that doesn't excuse his son. There's many times that great men and women have come up out of bad families. God has dug them all the way from the bottom of the dunghill. And yet there's also a lot of people that have gone bad that came out of very good families. We have many examples in the Bible. The thing is that we all have to make decisions in this life, and there is no excuse. God will make sure that you get to hear it, that you get to know. That way you will not be somewhere later on and say, nobody ever told me. I didn't hear. I did not know. But what we've got here is a party going on. And this is the same thing that happens to people today. They have parties all the time and they'll use any excuse. And the Bible says that they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That was in the beginning and that is still today and will continue until the Lord comes for us. There's always people that love the pleasure, the things of this world than loving God. They're also without natural affections. That's what Paul says. We have no affections for the things that we should. I just saw in the news the other day, and it really shocked me when I saw a little two-year-old girl in China get run over. And the camera was on, and it showed the little girl, and she laid there. And she died, but nevertheless, I saw men and women just go right around her, even little children. Nobody cared. And I said, this is really bad, but it's not only in China. It's happening all over the world. It's always happened like that. When God says they're without natural affection, that applies to a lot of people. They don't care. They do all kinds of bad things in this life. Not only that, but they're also despisers of those that are good. That's what Paul says. They're despisers of those that are good. They can't stand preachers. They can't stand anybody who stands for righteousness. They can't stand a president if he says, I'm born again and I want to do that which is right. They can't stand them. They hate them. They'll all talk about them. The thing is that the Bible also tells us that the Apostle Paul says that there are some that will have their conscience seared like with a hot iron. Your conscience is the one that tells you many times what's right, what's wrong. And it gets to the point that you reject all the things of God. You don't care about what's right, what's wrong. And you don't want to do that which is right when the Lord is calling you. And after a while, your conscience gets seared, just like a hot iron. In other words, it gets scorched. It gets trampled. You can't tell nothing anymore. I remember a long time ago, many years ago, I was being trained in fingerprint identification. And they showed us the pictures of some fingers that had been scorched. This criminal got tired of being caught all the time by fingerprints. So he decided to just put his fingers to a hot iron to burn off his fingers. Or rather, to burn off the ridges of his fingers. He didn't want to be identified. Nevertheless, they identified him because there was the smears that had no fingerprints. So that just goes to show, even though you try to hide from God, He still knows your heart. The Bible says that there will be some that will have their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, it's erased. You can't do nothing to it. It won't respond. It tells you also in Romans chapter 1 that God will give some people up to vile affections. All they want to do is the things that are wrong, that are bad. That finally God gets tired of you and He gives you up. What a shame. The God of mercy, whose mercy endures forever, but there's some time when He says, I've had it. And the Bible also says that He will also give you to a reprobate mind. There's some people that will continue to do wrong. They never want to listen. They could care less. And I'm going to give you some examples. And God finally has to say, I've had it. Now Herod, beloved, he was listening to the preaching of John. And the Bible tells me that he heard him gladly. That's what the Bible says. He heard him gladly. But you know, I also remembered what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, when the parable of the sower, that the sower is going out spreading the seed, and it lands in four different types of grounds. The first one was those that had no understanding. They could care less. I don't know how many percentage of people are like that in this world. They don't care about God's word. The devil just comes and he snatches it away. But then there's a big group, and I've seen this many, many times, who receive the word with gladness. Herod is one of them. He received it with gladness. But the Bible says that there's no root. And then when persecution comes, when the things come up and he has to make a decision, they're offended right away. That's what happened to Herod. He had heard him very gladly. He understood also that John was also a holy man. He had enough understanding also to understand that John was a just man. And you know, it also says that when he heard him gladly, he says he did many things. It doesn't tell you really what John, or rather what Herod did. What were those many things he did? But I know from experience that when you hear God's word, many people who hear it gladly, they get convicted. And many times they say, you know what, I need to give this up. I need to do away from here. I better not go to those places. I better stop talking this way. I better throw away my cigarettes. I better stop boozing so much. And they come up with all kinds of many things that they do. In other words, they're convicted. They're having trouble with their spirit. It is a conflict of your soul. And the thing is, there's so many people in the Bible, just like Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, and he says that one guy told him, he says, you know, I'll hear you when I have a better or more convenient time. Another man called Agrippa, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So many people are like that, they hear it. They know it. They know this is a man of God. They know he's a holy man. He's a just man. He's speaking God's word. But they don't want to commit themselves to God. They don't want that root to grow. They want to just keep it in the surface. They just want to be like everybody and just be glad that they heard the word of God. John the Baptist, beloved, was just delivering the mail. He had told him, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. That's what he had preached. I don't think that John the Baptist had a conference with the public and to hear all the rumors or to read the newspapers or listen to CNN or somebody to see what's going on in the world so he can preach about this. This is something that God had told him. The Bible says that they were holy men of God who spake and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it was God. He's the one that told him, preach this. That's why he did it. Of course, now that the Lord is gone, he went up to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that now the Spirit of God will come and he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. So it is the Spirit of God. Many times people think, well, the preacher, he looked like he read my mail. He looked like he talked to my wife. He looked like he knew something. Somebody told him something. It is just God, the one that's convicting you. The job of the preacher is just to deliver the mail. His job is just to preach what the Bible says. But Herod's response, beloved, is one of those that I don't want you to do. He wound up putting him in jail. See, he didn't like the preacher, so he's a king, so he just puts him in jail. But why do you want to chastise the mailman? Why do you want to shoot the messenger? The thing is that there will be times when the mail will be delivered real close to where you live. You're going to get, they're going to knock at your door and say, hey, read this. Is the preacher of God that's preaching God's word? It is the Spirit of God that's convicting you. And let me just tell you, you've got some choices to make. When you get God's word, you have to make choices, and I'll tell you some of the choices that will be coming your way. One of it is to just go ahead and ignore the message. That's what a lot of people do. That's why they're able to walk out and be happy, because they ignored it. They don't care nothing about what they heard. They don't want to be convicted. And the problem is, and I'll tell you right now, is that if you just ignore God's word when He's talking to you, when He's trying to get your attention, He's doing it for your good. The problem with that is when you begin to ignore it, what you're actually doing is you're searing your conscience. You don't want to hear no more. And little by little, and there's many examples, I will give you some in just a minute, but there's many examples where people, they didn't want to listen. And as time went by, their conscience just got more worse and worse, till it gets to the point where they could care less, they ignore the message. But you also have a few more choices that I'm pointing out. The next one is you can just attack the preacher. You can just say he's too rude, he's too crude. You can say he's too old, he's losing his head, he's losing his hair. He's too short, he's too fat. He looks like he's mad all the time. He looks like a winter cactus, like I've been called. He can't even preach in English. But that's enough about me. The thing is, you can also bring it to the Lord. When the Lord is speaking to you, instead of ignoring the message, instead of attacking the preacher, why don't you just bring it to the Lord? Why don't you just say, Lord, you're dealing with me. I know there's forgiveness with thee. I know there's mercy with you. I know you can pardon me. Help me to humble myself. Help me to repent. Give me the things that I need. You know, it says in Psalms, and there's so many verses, but I picked up Psalm 94, verse 12. Let me just read it to you. He says, blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of the law. Amen. When you're getting rebuked, when you're hearing God's word, when He's speaking to you, it's because He's extending mercy. He's extending mercy that you don't even deserve. He's trying to change you from darkness to light. The reason He speaks to your heart, He wants to do you good. He wants to bless you. He's showing mercy. He's extending His grace. He wants nothing but the best for you. That's what God was doing with Herod. All He was doing is preaching, or rather giving John the Baptist to preach from Leviticus 18, verse 16, where he says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. That's all it was. He's just delivering the mail. He's just saying what God has moved him to say. Nobody had sent him a letter and say, hey, this is what Herod's doing. That's what God told him to say. I'm sure when after he preached it, he said, well, now, where'd that come from? The thing is, it is God that moved him to say it. And it was Herod for Herod's own good. Because when you read the Bible and you read Leviticus, the Bible is very plain. He said, this is an abomination to him. And that's why all the nations before Israel, when he brought them into that country, they got rid of all the other nations. God says it's because they were doing all these things. That's why God moved them out. And he says, and if you do it, I'll move you out too. So you see, God was doing it for Israel. God was doing it for them. God was doing it for Herod. God is just extending his mercy. He wants him to repent. The preacher does not read your mail. But let me tell you, God reads your heart. He tries your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows what you've been doing. He knows what you do in the dark. He knows what you do when nobody's looking. God searches the heart. He knows exactly what you're doing. He just sent his mail via the preacher. He is the one that convicts. Many times I start out on a message and I'm telling my wife, man, I really like this one. It's going to be real good. And then 3 days later, I change my mind. I've even changed my mind on Saturday night. I said, no, that's not good. I don't feel right. And the Lord finally guides me and leads me to the one that He wants me to preach. And when I feel comfortable, when I feel, okay, this is what the Lord wants, then that's what I preach. That's where the Lord guides me. And I don't know who needs it or doesn't need it, but the Lord knows. He knows your heart. He knows that there's many people here that just listen to God's word and could care less. They walk out like if they hadn't heard nothing. Many times they're glad they were here and they're very happy that they got it, but the word of God takes no root. He wants the best for you. He wants you, He wants to feed your spirit and not your flesh. You know about Herod's birthday. That's what it was. It was just a lousy birthday. But that's what the world does today. They'll take opportunity. It don't matter what it is. When I was on the streets, all the time that I would be making calls because somebody got shot or got stabbed or got into a fight or beat somebody, it was always somebody's birthday. It was always Christmas. It was always Thanksgiving, just any little thing. The cousin in Mexico had a birthday, so they celebrate and get drunk here. It is just an excuse just so they can have sex, just so they can boost it up, just so they can have lust, just so they can do everything they've always wanted to do, and they just want an excuse to do it, and that's always been the case. It's always been, let's have a party. It's somebody's birthday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, like they say. The thing is that the devil still uses the same tricks. And then when you mix it with pride, just like with Herod, after what he said, all of a sudden the pride gets up and says, well, you know what, I already said it. I'm not going to lose face in front of my friends. I'm going to have to go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and behead him. That's a dangerous combination. You know, you ought not to be hanging around or going to places that you shouldn't. Any place that you see the danger, and we're all smart enough. We know where they serve the booze. We know where they speak bad, where they say the dirty jokes. Don't have no part. Don't go there. The next thing you know, your defenses are being weakened. And that's what the devil does. He brings in the booze. He brings in the girls with the pole. He brings all the things that go on just so that he can weaken your mind so that way you can just say, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. The conscience gets seared. Over and over you keep rejecting. I remember a long time ago, I won't mention the name, the young man is not here no more, but I remember I was preaching and I had made the altar call. And a young man came all the way from the back. And I saw him and I said, oh, that's good. He hadn't been here too long. And the thing is, he got all the way to the front seat and just sat here in the front. Never made it. Later on, when he left, it didn't take long. He was back in the world. I found out that he didn't want nothing to do with the things of God. He came so close. And that's the story of so many. Many don't get up. They don't want to straighten things out with the Lord. They don't want to repent. They're just happy that they heard it. But they don't want to deal with the mail that they just got. They don't want to deal with the things that God just told them. They just reject God's word. But you know, I would told you that I would give you some examples. There's examples all over the Bible. Let me start with Cain. Cain came to God with the offerings of his hands, what he had labored. And God rejected it. And God argued with him. He told him. And then later on, God says, why are you mad? Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? Cain should have just said, you know what? Okay, I'll do what my brother did. He just brought the blood of the lamb. He just brought the innocent sacrifice. That's what you want, God. That's what I'll offer. Instead, he gets upset. He gets mad. And then he goes on and kills his brother. And this is what so many people do. God argues with you. He talks to you. He tells you. He brings you the message. And you reject it and reject it till finally you're gone. This has happened many, many times. It happened at another party a long time ago. This is the party that Belshazzar had. You'll find that in Daniel chapter 5. And then when the writing was on the wall that his kingdom was ended, that he had been found short, he didn't make it, then he calls for Daniel, and Daniel comes in, and Daniel gives him a story. He begins to tell him, your dad Nebuchadnezzar, he also did something similar, and he was also brought down low. He was thrown out in the wilderness for 7 years. And you never listened. And he told them, he says, also, and of course they were having the same thing, a drunken party. It seems like it happens always at parties. And then Daniel told him, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled your heart, though thou knewest. He already knew. The same way with people who hear God's word, they know what the Bible says. They know what the Lord is telling you. And you still continue to ignore it. That's what he did. Well, he got to the point where God says, it's enough, it's ended. You came up short. You didn't make it. Because he kept ignoring and ignoring, and that's why Daniel told him, and you knew it. He just wouldn't do it. You know, it also reminds me of another story, and this is the story of Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was the son of Belial, and David had sent some messengers to go talk to him, and he talked real bad to them. And then, as David was getting prepared to come in and just wipe him out for acting the way he did, there was a servant that came to Abigail, his wife, and told him, this is what Nabal did. This is the things that he was saying. And he finished by saying, a man cannot speak to him. In other words, you're so hard-headed. Nobody can reach you. You don't listen to nobody else. You're too proud. Nobody can tell you anything. And this is exactly how so many people are. Nobody can tell you. God can't speak to you. You don't open up your heart to hear God's word. You're going to do it your way. Just like Frank Sinatra, I'll guarantee you, you're not going to make it. This man wind up not listening to nobody. His wife had to go and plead with David. And he says, I am the wife of that man called Nabal. And he says, and his name is just like him. Nabal meant fool. Isn't that a shame that a wife goes and tells somebody, my husband is a fool? But that's exactly what happened. Nabal wind up celebrating, having a party, and they then died right after that. You know, it also reminds me of Judas. Judas was with the Lord. For how many years? For years he was with the Lord. He walked with him. He saw the miracles. He saw the wonders. There was no doubt in his mind. He had heard Peter when he had said, thou art the Son of the living God. And yet, all the way to the end, finally God gets mad with him at that Last Supper. He says, what thou doest, do quickly. I'm tired of you. You don't listen to nobody. Nobody can talk to you. After 3 years, 3.5 years, you still don't know? You know, the Lord is, he had extended his hand over and over and over, just like he does with so many people, just like he did with Herod, and people just reject it. They don't want nothing to do with it until he tells them, you know what? Just go do what you're going to do. Do it quickly. You know, a man last week, he called me. He was crying, and he made me cry. He said, I lost my job. I lost my family, and now I've lost my church. And I had to tell him, you disregarded all the tears of your wife. You disregarded the tears of your pastors. You disregarded all the tears and all the admonishment and all the things that your parents, your family, everybody was telling you. It didn't matter to you. Now you lost everything. The only thing I can tell you, look up to God. God won't forsake you, but it's going to be a long road up. That's the time when most people will really look up to God after they've hit bottom. They've been warned and warned and given chance after chance. This man had all the chances in the world. Everybody loved him. Everybody would talk to him. We all had our part in trying to convince him, walk straight. But now that it's over, now he says, what do I do? I say, all you got is the Lord. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. All you can do now is cry out to him. He will hear and he will listen. But let me just tell you something. Sometimes, this story just keeps repeating itself over and over, and it's tiresome. I've seen it so many times. I've seen it here in this church through the years. I know other churches go through it. Other people in this world go through it. People are always falling apart, always leaving, forsaken, and we never hear from them. People that had heard the word, heard it and heard it and heard it, they rejected it. They didn't want God to work in their lives. God was only trying to set their lives straight. But they think that they can just continue. They think that they will always make it. They think that this life is nothing but pleasure. That's why Paul says in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14:38, let me read it to you. He says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know, you get to the point where the Word of God says, I told you and told you. But if that's what you want to do, you go ahead and go. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, right before it ends, he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. After God has done everything, he came in, he died for you. He paid for all your sins. He gives you mercy freely. Just like he told that woman, if you knew who it was that speaks to you, and if you would have asked me, I would have given it to you. That's all that God requires of you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to receive him as Lord and Savior. Has he spoken to you this morning? Has he been trying to get your attention? We all fall short. We all have weaknesses. That's why when God says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. Christians are weak. The devil is strong. He constantly defeats and knocks down Christians. But you know, you can also go to the Lord, ask for strength. You can always run to him. You can always run the devil off by just claiming the Lord, praising the Lord. He will flee. That's what the Bible says. But we are so weak, we are so laden with so many problems, that's why the Lord constantly extends his hand, Old Testament, New Testament, he always has his hand extended. He's always asking you to come to him. You feel the Lord has called you maybe to get saved? Maybe you're here this morning and you never really repented of your sins. And that's all the Lord is asking. He's asking you to believe, but he's also asking you a real hard part. It's hard because we don't want to repent, and that's what he says, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is that he came, he died for your sins, he was buried, and rose again the third day. He paid for all your sins. All he's asking of you is you need to repent of your sins and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Call upon him, he will save you very quickly. Maybe he's just asking you to obey, to obey his word. Don't be like Herod. He heard it. He was glad. Just like Cain, just like Nabal, just like so many in the scriptures, just like Judas, like so many and so many people in this world, in this church, they come and they hear and they're not obedient, they don't care. But the time will come when God will call you. It's time to go. Then it'll be too late. Just like it was too late for all the ones that I read to you about. The time came when the Lord says, you came out short. You didn't make it. Your kingdom has ended. Your life is gone. You spent it. But you know right now you're still breathing, there's time. Amen. The Bible says there is better to be a live dog than a dead lion. In other words, if you're alive and breathing, there's time for you. You can always repent. You can ask the Lord to save your soul. You can always ask him to help you with your weaknesses. We all have them. And God is ready to listen. He's just looking for that heart. The broken heart. The contrite heart. God will not reject. He will not refuse it. Ask the Lord to save your soul this morning. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing the one on the cross. I think it's 243. There's room at the cross.